And I want to give you a little truth here tonight. It's a question that Jesus asked somebody. And I want to ask you what you do if the Lord asks you that question. If the Lord asks you this question that I'm going to talk about tonight. So we'll look here in Mark chapter 10. And there's a lady here he's talking to. The blind man that Jesus was talking to here. And this guy came to Jesus, and verse number 48, they were telling this guy to hush and not even bother the Lord. And then in verse 49, Jesus stood and called him to come to him. And then in verse 50, he just threw his jacket down and run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what Jesus asked him in 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's look at this little story here just a minute tonight. The Lord puts them stories in the Bible for our benefit. And this little story says, there's a man here who's blind, couldn't see nothing. And the Lord looks at him and he said, the Lord, he didn't have to do this, but the Lord looked at him and he said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Now, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. What the Lord himself in the flesh walked in that door, sat down beside you and said, "What would you like for me to do for you?" Wouldn't that be something? That's what he told this guy. God didn't say, "Give me $1 million." He didn't say, no, he said, "I will see." And I'd rather see than have $1 million, wouldn't you? A whole lot better. I wouldn't trade my eyes for no $1 million. There are millionaires who are blind, so you're better off than a millionaire. A lot of them. And this guy says, "Lord, did I not see?" So the Lord basically gave him a blank check. He just said, whatever you want, I'll do it for you. What would you like for me to do for you?" So I'd like to put forth that question to you tonight. What would you like for the Lord to do for you? You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I'd just give anything for the Lord." All right, let's talk about it tonight. What would you like for the Lord to do for you? The Bible said if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And sometimes we think, "Oh, the Lord would never answer my prayer." If it's according to His will and can and does. He said, blank check. Like I gave Capfire a minute ago. I gave her a blank check. And she's going to go write it for $50 worth of donuts and $800 worth of new clothes. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what the Lord done. That's what the Lord done. He said, "What will you like for me to do to you?" Well, I've thought about that many a time. I thought, well, if I was sitting in my house one day and the Lord appeared through the walls and said, "Danny, yes, sir." After I come to, I'd say, "Yes, sir." And he'd say, "What would you like for me to do for you?" "Lord, are you serious? I need this and I need that." All right, let's talk about that just a little bit. The great question, the Bible says, let your request be made known to God. Whatever you want or need, or you feel like you need in your life, let it be known to the Lord. Did you know, y'all, that God wants us to let our request be made known to Him? You're not being selfish if you say, "Lord, I need this," or "I sure wish you'd do this for me," or "I've got this problem or that problem, and I sure could use your help." Now, we know one of two things. He's either going to make that problem go away, or He's going to give you the grace and strength to go through it. Either way, He's going to help you through that thing. And He loves you. He cares about you. He proved His love when He died on the cross, y'all. Don't you let the devil tell you that God don't care about you. Don't you let the devil tell you that the Lord's not interested in the feeling of your infirmities. What bothers you bothers Him. He's touched with the feeling. If your kids are driving you crazy, or if you got something wrong physically, the Lord is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. The Bible said in 1 Kings 3 and verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon, and He said the same thing. "Ask what I shall give thee." He done the same thing to Solomon. And Solomon told him that it may be given to him. All right? Wonder what our prayer request will be. I'll guarantee you, there's some people in here tonight, if the Lord said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Your first thing would be, "Lord, save all my family and my loved ones." I mean, really, when you come right down to it, our health and our income and our own personal happiness is nothing to compare to all our family being saved and going to heaven. The big picture is you want your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister. You want to make sure that everybody's in heaven with you. And you don't have to worry about it being God's will. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3:9, He said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as the manner of some is, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. It is God's will that your husband be saved. It is God's will that your children, your daddy, it's God's will that your mama get saved. It's God's will that your brother get saved. Let me just take a little survey here tonight. Does anybody in here tonight have a brother who's not saved, or you're strongly in doubt of it? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, oh my goodness, there's 13 or 14 in here tonight has a brother who is not saved or is in strong doubt of it. All right? Anybody in here have a sister who is not saved or you're strongly in doubt of it? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sisters. What about a daddy or a mother? Daddy or a mother? There's a couple. All right. Now we all. All right. What the Lord said. All right. What do you want me to do? I don't know about you, but if my daddy wasn't saved, that'd be my number one request. You say you wouldn't ask for a new house? No, I might want a new house, but I wouldn't. If the Lord really said, "What do you want more than anything?" I'd say, "Lord, I want my daddy and my mama and my two sisters to be in heaven with me." Because really, in a few years, that's all that's going to matter. Maybe in a few minutes. Amen? The things of this world ain't forever, y'all. I'm not saying it's bad to pray for temporal things, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But my number one request would be my family to be saved. The surest sign you know you got saved, you have an immediate burden for your family. When you think, I'm not going to hell, I'm not going to burn, glory to God, first thing you think is, my daddy, my mom. I remember my daddy was the last one in my family to get saved. And one night, I'd been saved about, I don't know, maybe a little over a year. And we was in a service in a big Free Will Baptist church there in Nebo. And that place was packed out and people was getting saved right and left. And it was one of them, you know, you've been to church where a lot of times people will go to people and try to get them to come to the altar. Well, I don't encourage that, but I don't discourage it either. If the Lord leads you to talk to somebody, you do it. And people would, you know, go back and put their arm around somebody and say, I'll go pray with you if you want to. Well, that's the way it got going like that. And people started going to the altar right and left, getting saved, getting saved, getting saved. My daddy was there. We talked him into going because we were singing, my singing group. We were singing that night. And I went over that night and I put my arm around my daddy's, first time I'd ever done that. And I said, Daddy, please. And he just went like that and shook his head. And boy, it broke my heart. Lord have mercy. I'd heard all these stories. I'd heard preachers preach about, you know, somebody getting their last warning and dying. And I thought, oh my goodness. And then you've heard me tell over and over, my daddy was drunk. He was drunk one night. He'd been drunk several days. And he's laying in the bed. When my daddy got drunk, he didn't get violent. I mean, he didn't want to fight and scream and holler. He'd just go to bed. Just go to bed. He'd stay there till the next day and go drink more. He would laugh and he would sing, but he didn't get mean, except when he shot them ducks that time. You've heard me tell about that. We had these ducks out in the pond. There's wild ducks. I don't know where they come from. There's a bunch of them out there. A bunch of white ducks. And they're out there going, wah, 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 wah. And you'd hear them. And we was all sitting around the house and the door, windows open and everything because we didn't have air conditioning. About that time, Daddy come through the house with a shotgun. He come through there and everybody like, where's he going? Boom! Boom! We could hear it out there. It sounded like Civil War. And his feathers went up everywhere. He just walked right back in and went down to bed. I got tired of listening to them things. That was a weird thing to do. But he didn't get violent. But he blowed them ducks to duck hell, brother. But you know what? I remember going in there and putting my hand on his leg and I said, Lord, please don't let Daddy die like this. Lord, please don't let Daddy die like this. Lord, I don't know if I can stand it if my daddy dies like this. Please don't. And I begged him and I begged the Lord and sure enough, he finally did get saved. So I think that would be most people's request, my family being saved. When you think about it, in a few years, we're going to be in eternity. All of us. Things down here ain't going to matter. Ain't gonna matter about your job. Ain't gonna matter about your house, your income, your car. Nothing. Your looks, your importance. Nothing's gonna matter except was a person saved. Amen? That's what we're in business here for. That's what Shining Light Baptist Church is in business for. The souls of men. I think some churches have just got it all back, just turned into a social club. Well, he's there and she's there and we like you and we don't like you. And she's there and we're there and you're there and we're there and we're all going to fellowship and eat every Wednesday night. There's nothing wrong with that, but that ain't the mission of the church, people. We are on a divine mandate from the King of Kings to reach souls before the Lord comes back. So it might be that your souls, your family say. I heard about two women. This is a story I read. Believe it or not, it's what the story said. These two women agreed to pray for their unsaved husbands. Both of them. And they said every day, at a certain time, lunchtime, I believe they said they'd give up for lunch or something. They agreed to pray for their unsaved husbands. Lord, please, would you save my husband? Lord, please, would you save my husband? Well, they prayed for nearly 10 years. One night, one of them was getting ready to go to sleep, and her husband came in. He said, honey, I got something to tell you. She said, what? He said, so-and-so talked to me at work. I got saved. I'm a Christian. And she went, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. She could not wait to tell her friend. She could not wait. She said, I'm going to get up early in the morning, go over to her house. She said, glory to God, hallelujah, this is the best thing in the world. Our prayers have been answered. It's been, but she sort of felt bad, you know, because her husband's saved, the other lady's wasn't. And she took off over to the other lady's house the next morning, met the other lady coming to her house. And they met, she said, I got to tell you something. No, I got to tell you something. And sure enough, the other got saved too. And I'm telling you, they shouted and danced around and jumped up and down, said hallelujah. You know why? Because it was a miracle of God. To save your family. Don't give up on your family. Don't you ever think they ain't no use talking to them, they're too far gone. Don't ever feel like that. If it was just humanly speaking, I'd say yeah. But the Holy Spirit's working on them people. Don't you ever give up on the work of the Holy Ghost, people. Don't ever give up. I don't care if they're the biggest crack dealer in Burke County. God's got a monkey wrench that'll fit any nut in this town. That's right. Amen. He can do it. The Lord can do it. I am a firm believer that God can save anybody. And sometimes what we think might be the hardest case, the Lord will save them, turn around and make a preacher out of it, like Paul the Apostle. He was on his way to kill Christians when he got saved. Made him a trophy of grace. Put him in the Lord's army. And so it might be that. Number two, the second thing. Maybe it's this, and this would certainly be on my list. If the Lord asked, Danny, what would you like me to do? I'd say, to bless our church. I want the Lord to bless our church. Pour out your blessings on our church. Be careful about criticizing your church. Remember, it's His body. When you criticize the church, you're criticizing the body of Christ. I've heard people say, our church ain't... I don't hear that much about this church, but I travel a lot. And I hear people say, our church just ain't no... You better watch how you talk about your church. If people... Let me tell you something, folks. I've been pastoring a long time. Let me tell you something. If people spent half as much time praying for their church as they do talking about it, there'd be a mighty revival shake this country. Amen? Gossiping about it ain't going to help nothing. Well, tell you what will. Praying about it. Praying about it will. Some people don't want God to bless their church. I've been in churches where I don't think they wanted to. Wanted the Lord's blessing. I think sometimes people think, well, I don't want the Lord to bless because it might get too big or something like that. Well, that's ridiculous. That's our one man told me one time, he said, well, I'm just not used to coming. Our church is big compared to a lot of churches. I've been to a lot of churches that only has 40 or 50 people on Sunday. So when they come in here, they think, wow, this is huge. And it's not huge compared to some, but it's huge compared to others. And I had a man tell me one time, he said, well, I'll just be honest with you, preacher. He said, I just like to go to a little church. And I said, well, do you want it to stay little? And he thought. Because that's my first thing. Do you want it to... You like going to a little church? You, does that mean you want it to stay little? You want it to grow? Then you'd have to leave. You want it to stay little? You're full of the devil. If you want your church to stay little, you're full of the devil. Amen? So we want the Lord to bless our church. I I put in the bulletin, and Sean's going to make us some special bulletins for their Watermelon Sunday. And I put in the bulletin, that we ought to pray that God will bless our church. Instead of griping or complaining, pick a day and fast and pray, Lord, bless our church. Fill this place with power. Rebuke the devil. Amen. We're not perfect like in the other church, but I tell you what, with God's blessings, buddy, this can be a powerhouse for the glory of God. Number three, I'm going to have to hurry and give you these other ones right quick because I don't have a lot of time. Wonder if this would be your request. I guarantee it would be somebody. Lord comes up and says, what would you like me to do to you, for you? And you say, to clean up my life. To clean up my life. Many people's lives are cluttered with junk and sin. I don't believe I have ever, well, I know I haven't, ever met more people that's in the more awful sin than they are right now. And especially in the matter of drugs and immorality. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, everybody you talk to is either on pills or part no family or requesting some propriety of somebody is on pills. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, everywhere you go, I'm telling you, brother, it's an epidemic. If you're not on pills tonight, you ought to shout and thank God and don't ever mess with them. Don't ever mess with them. Because it must be mighty, mighty bad. It must be mighty, mighty bad. I was thinking today about being in the hospital, having surgery and stuff, and I don't think I've ever been in the hospital, but three or four nights in my life. So God's been good to me. When I hurt my knee playing ball, when I got shot, I'd spend the night, and when I had my appendix took out when I was 14, I spent the night. I think one or two nights since I've been saved. Glory to God, hallelujah. God's been good to me. And I can't imagine. If I had a bunch of pain, you don't know what you'd do. If you're hurting bad enough, ain't no telling what's likely to happen to you. But I'm telling you, folks, it didn't used to be like that. You better leave that stuff alone. You better leave that stuff alone. I'm a preacher. I hear it all the time. So-and-so's got a pill addiction. So-and-so's got a pill addiction. Where I preach Sunday, the pastor's, I guess it's his stepdaughter, they told me about, she's about 30 years of age. They said she just overdosed last week and overdosed twice in the last few months. Ruined her life. Last time I was down there, she's in church with her husband. And now, been in jail, been in rehab, hospital, and everything else. Young people, all you kids listening to me tonight, you better leave that junk alone. Don't take no pills. Don't drink no alcohol. Listen, you'll never become an alcoholic if you don't drink. And the way you become an alcoholic is you drink a little bit, and then a little bit, and then a little bit, and then a little bit, and the next thing you know, the devil has got his way into your life. And into your heart, the devil don't just come and make you a drunk overnight. The devil don't make you a pill head in one day. It's a little here and a little there. And see there, you quit taking them for a while. It's all right to take another one. You quit. It might be, Lord, clean up my life. Clean up my life. I tell you what you better do. You better shut the door. You got to shut the door. And that's the way any sin is. Sexual sin. Lying, stealing, you have to shut that door. If you leave it cracked that much, a snake don't have to have a door wide open for it to get in. It just cracked that much. I saw a snake at my house yesterday, and man, I'm telling you, there's some snakes out this year. Have y'all seen the snakes? Lord have mercy. My dog, Corey, they killed two copperheads. There's one still that run around there somewhere. Killed copperhead the other night. My neighbors killed two or three copperheads. And it seemed like they're everywhere. I guess it's hot weather and all. And yesterday they come on right behind my back door about that long, but it was a black snake. And I was on the phone and I come out and I just sort of, he just went slowly off into the flowers beside my house. And, everybody says leave them alone because they'll keep rats away and poisonous snakes. But, I don't know, buddy. I don't look like a snake to me. And that, I'm telling you what, that thing, and I got to thinking, I thought, you know what? I can have all the windows in my house shut. I can have the vents closed. I can have everything done and leave that door cracked that much and that snake get in my house. You listen, kid? You say, well, I about quit everything. That's a mistake. I about quit everything. Famous last words. I about quit everything. Famous last words. I hardly ever. Yeah, famous last words. See, the devil, he's, you know, snake's patient. Them things will lay there and not move forever. We went Sunday after church, they took us to the shell factory down there. It's the world's largest shell factory. If you've ever been to the apple barn over in Pigeon Forge, it's the same thing as the apple barn except with seashells. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. They got seashells in there for sale for $1,200. A seashell, brother, $1,200. I thought, who in their right mind would pay $1,200 for a seashell? Went in there and they got alligators. And they said, you can feed the alligators. And I said, all right. They said, throw it right in front. I throw that right in front of that thing's nose. And it just laid there like this in the water. I don't know if it's dead or what. They said, sometimes they don't eat for a month or two. That's the way the devil is. He'll leave you alone for a while. He just biding his time. The devil will back off till you think, I'm all right. I don't have that problem no more. I got the victory. Y'all listen to me? The devil will hold off for a while. And then right when you think you're all right, he hits you. Just like that. And if you leave that door, most people, the reason they don't get the victory over drugs, they leave a little door open in the back of their head. Little tiny door. You leave that door open, are you quit? Well, yeah, but in the back of my mind, maybe someday, some point, I'll get to the point where a little tiny, that little tiny swings that door all the way open. I don't know who I'm preaching to here tonight, but the Lord put this on my heart, and somebody better listen. Somebody better listen. You know what? Slam that door shut. Lord, don't go where you met it. Don't hang around people that do it. Don't go where you might be tempted. Don't even put yourself in a place where the devil can tempt you. Because, buddy, bigger men than you went down the tube. Stronger ladies than you have ruined their lives. So leave that junk alone. Ask the Lord to clean your life up. You shouldn't pet sin. Let me tell you something about sin. You'll judge it or God will. If you don't judge your sin, the Lord will step in and do it for you. Now you want the best way out? Say, all right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, and I'm going to quit by God's grace and kick yourself. Like what old Ruckman says, he says, if you're doing something wrong, quit it. If you can't quit, kick yourself. Around the block, a time or two. And kick yourself. And if you wait till God gets you, then you're going to get it hard. If you don't kill your sin, it'll kill you. If you don't beat it up, it'll beat you up. You're in a fight. You're in a fight for your life. All right? Let me give you another one. And if you want to say something, you feel free to. But let me give you another one. Let me tell you something else. Here's might be your request for God to fill you with the Spirit. That's a good one. That's a good one. The command to be filled with the Spirit. Notice I said command. It's not a suggestion. Some people say, well, there's a lot of people that really want to be filled with the Spirit more, but I'm just sort of a normal Christian. In the Bible, every Christian should be filled with the Spirit. You say, how do you be filled with the Spirit? Ask him. You're baptized with the Spirit one time. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. This Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. But you're filled with the Spirit over and over and over and over. I'll never forget listening to Jack Hiles. I think about it all the time, or lots of times. When he was going, he said he'd be driving down the road, and he had a little, one of them little bitty signs right there in front of his steering wheel said, pray for power. Pray for power. Pray for power. And I've never forgot that. And so I try to do that. When I'm driving, I say, Lord, give me power. Lord, give me power. Lord, give me power. Because we forget this is supernatural work. If you're a Sunday school teacher, all the Sunday school teachers, pray for power. Pray, Lord, give me power. Because you don't know what one little word you say might have an effect on one of those kids. Y'all junior church workers, bus workers, you don't know. You don't know. The reason you should pray for be filled with the Spirit, because sometimes the Lord will put stuff in your head and out your mouth that might make a difference in somebody's life. Like He's doing me tonight for you. And I'm telling you, it worked. I'm a firm believer in it. I went to church before and had a message I was going to preach. And I felt like the Lord said, preach on heaven, preach on heaven. And I said, I ain't got a sermon on heaven. And the Lord said, preach on heaven. And I said, but I got this sermon ready, my sermon ready. And deep in my heart, all I could think about was heaven, heaven. And finally I said, okay, Lord. And I surrendered and peace come into my soul. And I got up and preached on a sermon on heaven. And I didn't think it was great. And a man got right that morning. He's been in church ever since. That was 30 years ago. And I learned a long time ago, yield to the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead you. I'm not talking about some crazy something mystical or something crazy or in the flesh and slobber and roll around the floor. I'm talking about just being yielded to God's Spirit. I've told you that story. I think I've told it one time here. There's a guy came to church one time up in Marion. I did not know that. I don't remember it. I was told this not too long ago. And he was one of these guys back in the 80s, I guess, early 90s, that was really super particular about his hair. You ever notice these guys, some guy, I know a lot of women, I know women that are just, their hair, you can't touch their hair, you'll get killed. You know, when the wind's blowing, they walk like this. I see them coming across the church parking lot. So it won't mess up their hair. And really, you're not that important. But some guys are like it. You can't even touch your hair and mess with it like that. Say, I can rub mine, do whatever with it. And they can't stand it. Don't keep touching my hair, man. They're ready to fight. Well, that's where this guy was. And he came to church, and I didn't even know it. And they said, I was told this later, never met the man before, never been there before. And they said I was preaching up a storm and run down the aisle like that and just laid my hand on that guy's head. That's what they told me I did. I didn't know it. I didn't know it until just about a year ago. And hey, he about had a heart attack. I didn't know this until not long ago. And it had been 15 years. And guess what? The Lord must have done something. That guy got saved, and he's pastoring a church now and preaches on the radio. I have no idea if I had my laying on of hands did any of that. I don't know if it did or not. But can you, isn't that something? About right where, it's like Jesus, the woman at the well, she said, our fathers worshipped in Jerusalem. Where do you say we ought to worship? The Lord said, go call your husband. See, man, he hit her right where it was needed. I hit that old boy right where it is needed. And you know what does that? The Spirit of the Lord does that. You're better off to be led by the Spirit and not even be as smart or as educated than to have it all up here and God's Spirit not lead you. Now, it's really good if you got both. It's really good if you're smart and be led by the Spirit. But the handicap of being real smart or educated is you think you don't need God. And you do. Paul was a genius. But he depended on the Lord to lead him. Solomon was a genius, but he needed the Lord to lead him. There's no telling what them guys' IQ was. So, fill you with the Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Sometimes just one word will make a difference in a person's life. Just one word. Just one word. How many of you can remember one thing a preacher said one time and it stuck with you? It stuck with you lots of times. I heard Hiles, I was listening to Jack Hiles yesterday, and he was talking about, he read a book, and it was something like a dare, you know how you dare somebody to do something? And he said, something a guy said in there, he said, I've never forgot it. And he said, it had been many, many, many years ago. And sometimes, one word by a Spirit-filled person can change a person's life. So it might be, you want the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. And I'll say one more thing, I've got to hush. Maybe it's to know God's will for your life. I've been there before where I said, God, more than anything, just show me what your will is. Show me what your will is. And it still works. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen? Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It sort of sounds funny, but it is God's will for you to know His will. God don't get no pleasure in you not knowing what you're doing, going around in circles, wondering. The Lord don't sit up and say, ha, 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 I got him going crazy now. Oh, nope, I ain't telling you my will. Nope, you're not going to see it. He wants us to understand what His will is. Right. And most of the time, we know it just like that. We just ain't willing to do it. Most of the time when you pray for God's will, you're trying to talk Him into agreeing with what you already made up your mind you want to do. And that's the battle we have in the flesh. I've done that many, many, many times. You're wanting His stamp of approval on something you want to do. And sometimes He will, sometimes He won't. But the best way to do it is surrender and say, all right, Lord, whatever, because I don't know the best. I don't know what's best. I'm going to trust You with it. You always got people willing to give you advice. You know, there's a lot of people. My pastor said a lot of people's giving advice nobody's asking for. And there's always these people that say, I tell you what you ought to do. You know, and I want to say, you know, if God's going to tell you what His will is for my life, that might happen once in a blue moon, but not normally. And if somebody's life's already messed up, they probably don't know what God's will is for you. So all the women you work with giving you all this advice about how you should leave your husband and all that, I don't think I'd take advice from somebody whose life's in a mess and they ain't living right. But everybody's got it. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got advice on what you should do. But you got to follow this book and say, Lord, show me what Your will is for my life. Amen? The Lord will never lead you wrong. He'll never lead you in the wrong way. He never makes a mistake. And He always blesses you when you do right. So I want to ask you tonight. I want Miss Desi to come up here for a minute, play. I want to ask you tonight, what would your request be? Now don't sit there and say, well, He told us some good stuff and everything, and all that's true. Let it work with you. Let it work in you tonight. Lord, this is what I need You to do in my life. Let's stand by our heads. And if you want to come up here and pray while she plays, we're not going to have any singing. Just get around this altar and say, Lord, here's what I need You to do. Clean up my life.